The movies you watch, the TV shows you adore, the concerts and sporting events you attend, behind the curtain of nearly all of these is an immensely powerful and secretive corporation known as Creative Artists Agency. Started in 1975 when five bright and brash employees of William Morris left to open their own talent agency, CAA would come to revolutionize the entertainment industry, and over the next several decades, its tentacles would spread aggressively through the worlds of movies, television, music, advertising, and investment banking. The new book, Powerhouse, The Untold Story of Hollywood's Creative Artists Agency, is the saga of that ascent, drawing on exclusive access to the men and women who built and battled with CAA, as well as financial information never before made public. Author James Andrew Miller spins a tale of ambition, egomania, empire building, greed, and personal betrayal, as well as prophetic brilliance, magnificent artistry, singular genius, and entrepreneurial courage. James Andrew Miller is a journalist and co-author of the bestsellers Those Guys Have All the Fun, Inside the World of ESPN, and Live from New York, The Complete Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live. He has written for The Washington Post, The New York Times, Vanity Fair, and many other publications. It's a great pleasure to welcome James Andrew Miller to the roundtable this morning. James, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you have worked on ESPN story. You have worked on Saturday Night Live story. What brought you to CAA?
Well, everybody knows what the initials SNL are and ESPN. I thought it would be interesting to write a book about a place that a lot of people don't know about. It's really a Hollywood content universe book, but it's about this place that has been a leader in Hollywood and a lot of things that involve our days that we don't really necessarily know about. So I don't think people realize that, you know, from Jimmy Fallon to Tom Cruise movies to, you know, Katy Perry, even when they walk into a Chipotle or see J.J. Watt on the football field, CAA is the agency behind that. And so it was kind of fun to report about this place that prides itself on secrecy and talk about what they do.
Give us an idea of how it started and at what point, how soon after its beginning, it made an impact.
Well, it started in 1975 with several people, five men who had left the William Morris Agency. And I think that it's fair to say that within the first several years, it had started to be noticed in very distinctive ways by the rest of Hollywood. And by the time, by the time in the early 80s, I think it had just gotten on a rocket trajectory to becoming the most dominant agency in town.
What did they do differently? What allowed that dominance?
I think one of the things that they did was they had total transparency between their agents. So as a result, I'll give you a small little example. It used to be that a studio would call up, offer an agent a role for their client. The client would read the script, the agent and the client would talk, call back and say no. You know, at CAA, they never allowed that agent to call back and say no, because if that agent's client didn't want to do it, then the agency found a client that did. So the call back would be, listen, you know, Meryl Streep can't do it, but Goldie Hawn wants to do it. Or Robert Redford can't do it, but Paul Newman says yes. And I think that that was one of the ways in which they started to, the way that they had communicated with each other inside the building, I think was very important.
Talk about the five who started it and how they ultimately set the tone for this agency.
Well, they were very different people, and I think that the irony is that the youngest and the least experienced, Michael Ovitz, wound up being the president of the company and for many years was the de facto, kind of like figurehead of the agency. But Ron Meyer and Bill Haber were very, very important, and Michael Rosenfeld and Roland Perkins were also co-founders.
When it comes to their styles meshing together and the five of them working together, how did that go initially, and how did that transform over time?
Yeah, I love that question because it was a fun thing to report. I think that, look, when companies start out, you know, there's kind of like this relationship that people have to each other, and then as the companies develop and become more successful or encounter problems, whatever, those relationships can often change. And I think that one of the things that I realized while reporting about the early years of CA is that it was a very dynamic time. There was a lot of things going on in terms of changes amongst the five of them. And so it was really powerful to see the way in which particularly Ovitz was able to engineer, you know, control of the company.
In that control, what was he able to then accomplish, and what scars did that cause as a result?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, financially, he was able to accomplish a majority ownership of the agency. When it was founded in 1975, there were five equally invested partners, right, 20% each. Ovitz became the controlling partner, and I think that led to a myriad of changes. And I think he also had an agenda outside the traditional entertainment business that the others really didn't have. So as a result, he got into investment banking and marketing and other things that they didn't want to do.
What was the lure for the clients, the people who were looking for something that they would go to CAA and Michael Ovitz?
I think that one of the things that clients were attracted, well, there are two big things. One is CAA prided itself on knowing how to make a deal and making an incredibly beneficial deal for their clients. The second thing was that as they got to be bigger, you know, Tom Cruise talked to me about this. One of the things that he loved about being at CA was, my God, he could talk to Martin Scorsese, and he could meet with Paul Newman, and he could meet with Dustin Hoffman and Sidney Pollack and Steven Spielberg. And so as a result, if you have those kinds of people living in your agency, then that's another value proposition that you have for your clients. Like, you're going to get to work with so-and-so, and you're going to get to talk to so-and-so. That's a big advantage.
Obviously, you tell their story in this book, but what impact did it have on other agencies and other stars and personalities in Hollywood as a result of the meteoric rise of this particular agency?
I think one of the things that happened in the competitive climate in the 80s and in the early 90s was that the competition was kind of like fell back on its feet. They were in shock because CA was raiding their client list almost at will. And I talked to a lot of the competitors during that time. And it was pretty terrifying. You know, even clients that they had, can you imagine being at a competing agency and there's this director that you've nursed along and with student films and couldn't get a movie. And all of a sudden, you know, they do a movie and it's a great success. And then CA comes along and just steals them away. I mean, that's part of the nature of the agency business. And that happened with directors, and it happened with actresses, and it happened with actors, and it happened with writers. So I think that that's something that, you know, to your question, I think that's something that really became part of the competitive landscape back then.
You write about this period from 1989 to 1984, and the story is told about the late night wars and David Letterman leaving NBC, not being given the Tonight Show, and ultimately moving to CBS. David Letterman says in the book that I was as low in my life as a person can get without the loss of a loved one. And then there are many people telling the story of what Michael Ovitz and the agency was able to do for David Letterman. Tell us how typical that story is of what this agency was able to accomplish and how ultimately they were able to accomplish it.
Yeah, I found that pretty striking from Letterman, didn't you? I just the way he talked about it.
Yeah.
We have such a tendency to think now about David Letterman, you know, as this uber successful person, but at the time that Michael Lovitz and CA were working on his behalf, he had just lost the Tonight Show to Jay Leno. He was the loser, and so I think that that was a very big moment for CA. One of many. And I think that that's part of what we're talking about when we're talking about industry dominance and influence, because Michael Lovitz was able to, and Ron Meyer and all of the agents there, be able to put together these movies and these TV shows. I mean, I try and give examples in the book of, from Tootsie to Jurassic Park to ER, movies, television, even and music. I think that people really don't appreciate just how much influence they had back then, and I think it's really hard to suggest that a place now has that kind of influence.
Later on in the book, David Letterman is again quoted of saying that he never knew anybody like Mike Ovitz, and you write about him leaving CAA, and how Letterman and many others felt like they had just been abandoned, and Letterman even says, I know it was very selfish of him to think about himself, but said, he's my guy, and now who's going to be my guy? And I assume that was the case of many of these celebrities.
Yes, that was definitely the case when Ron Meyer left, because, like Whoopi Goldberg said she cried, and Jessica Lange said she was so upset. I think that people have a tendency to not appreciate the emotional component that an agent has with their client. We know about the financial one, that they're going to make the deal and the agent's going to keep 10% and yada, yada, yada. But, I think that one of the things that was really surprising for me was just how close and just how strong a connection agents had with many of their clients.
There is, obviously, you write about this in the book, but there's a lot of betrayal. There's a lot of greed in this story.
Yeah, it's kind of Shakespearean, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, look, I'm sure there's some listeners out there who might be saying to themselves, well, it's Hollywood. What do you expect? And I guess that's probably true. But still, it was it's pretty amazing to watch it. And to see just all the power plays and the deceitfulness and things like that, it really was very much part of the landscape.
And give us examples of people who got in the middle of that greed and betrayal, and what its impact was on them, and how much they were able to bounce back from it.
I guess the biggest example is Michael Ovitz, who left CA in 1995 to become president of Disney and then left Disney 18 months later. I spend quite a bit of time in the middle of the book talking about that journey, and it was a very complex Shakespearean one. I think that there are other times in the book where you see that people can be very, very aware of their clients or of their agents, but not particularly self-aware. And what is the cost of that? How does that affect your life, and how does that affect your business and your reputation? And I was fascinated by that. And so I really wanted to make sure that those kinds of things were included as well.
What's fascinating about your books in both Saturday Night Live, ESPN, and this book is that these are all entities that are still going on. They still exist, and they're still very much a force and a power. What is it like to put together a book like this when everything is still operating?
Right. So that's an interesting question, because it's one thing to interview somebody who used to work at a place like that, but when you interview them and they're still there, they have to be much more careful about what they say, because if they said certain things, they'd be fired, right? We all want to keep our jobs. So I think I was really pleased that so many people inside CAA decided to talk, particularly because agents don't necessarily, you know, talk about themselves and their own work. They're supposed to talk about the client. So one of the great things for me about this book was, you know, the participation of so many agents. But I think you're right, which is it is a very difficult thing sometimes for people who are still there to talk to a reporter on the record.
The book is a fascinating one. It's entitled Powerhouse CAA, The Untold Story of Hollywood's Creative Artists Agency. James Andrew Miller, thank you very much for being with us. It's very nice to have you on the program.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Powerhouse. It is published by Custom House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.